Amen, 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 amen. All right, Gone Fishing part number 5. If you brought your Bibles, go ahead and go in them with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, a familiar passage of Scripture, because we've been talking about it these last few weeks. But a good one, and the basis for our series, Gone Fishing. Jesus said, Matthew 4:19 says, then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And actually, if I could begin by talking about, actually this last Monday, I had a conversation, a good conversation with a young man, and I don't mind calling him out. I don't know where he went. I saw him earlier. I know he's here somewhere. But I don't mind calling him out because it's a good conversation. Where's Phil? Where are you at? Where'd you go? There you are! There's Phil right there. Phil, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Wave it up. Just want everybody to know, Phil is single. We'll be taking application. He said it's true. No, I'm just kidding. No, Phil is a great guy. You know, no, I had a conversation. We're talking about fishing for men, right? Aren't we? So, okay, never mind. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just too far. Okay, so on Monday night, though, I had a great conversation with Phil. We played some soccer, and after the soccer game was over, Phil came up, and he was expressing to me that this series had challenged him and inspired him to kind of step out of his normal routine and go ahead and begin to share Jesus with the people around him. So he actually began to minister to a coworker. And we're talking about it. He's explaining to me everything that had taken place up until that time. And he mentioned that he invited this man to church and that he'd be seeing him, you know, that week at work. And so he was saying, you know, what else could I do, Pastor Joe? You know, could I approach it like this? You know, what else could I say? What could I expect? And so we're talking about it and kind of, you know, going through it. And it was a great conversation. I really felt like the Holy Spirit reminded me of some things that I had learned and that I knew that I had put in my heart, but that I had forgotten about. When it comes to evangelizing, when it comes to the how-tos of telling people about Jesus, and just in my conversation with Phil, like the Holy Spirit, oh, remember this? I was like, oh yeah. How many of you realize today that a forgotten truth in your life is just as bad as an unknown truth? That's going to affect your life in the same negative way. And that's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And one of his jobs is to come along and remind us of the things that Jesus has spoken to us. Those encouragements, those truths, so that we can continue to walk in the light of what we know. The Bible talks about walking in the light as he is in the light. How many of y'all want to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light? All right, that's going to happen as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you as well as reminds you of the things that Jesus has said to you. So I'm sitting there and we're talking and Phil and I are talking and the Holy Spirit's just speaking to me about, you know, some things I had learned long ago in regards to evangelizing. And so what I thought is that I would share them with you tonight. What do you think? What do you think? How-tos of evangelism. You know, I think today, if you love Jesus, and you've heard his great commission, his commandment to you and I, to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, all right? And to make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that your desire likely is to go ahead and want to do that, right? I mean, if I love Jesus and I know this is what he wants for my life, hey, I want to go out. I want to do that. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to see them come to the faith. I want to see them be rescued and be saved and delivered and turned on to God. I want to do that. And so we have this great want to on the inside, but all of a sudden, then the situation and the opportunity presents itself and the how to actually do that kind of hangs us up. We get hung up on the how to's, right? Hung up on the how-tos. Don't you just kind of wish that some things like Jesus would say something, for example, in the Bible, there'd be a little footnote. You could turn to the back of your Bible. There'd be in the index or something, you know, an outline. Point one, point two, point three on how to evangelize. Don't you wish that, you know, there was an outline just of how to do it, right? Point number one, introduce yourself. Point number two, here are some things that you can expect as a reaction to you sharing Jesus. A smile, B, a frown, 3, the finger, 4, you may lose your head, depending on what part of the world you're, you know, okay, but it's not there, right? It's not there. And so sometimes we get, all I'm saying is we get hung up on the how-tos. We want to, but we don't get out there and do it because, well, how do I do it? How do I do it? You know what? Before I actually get into my points, this is not one of my points, but I think it's worth saying that You know what? Whether you feel like you know how to or not, or that you're the best at it or not, you just got to get out there and do it. Come on, somebody. You just got to get out there and do it. Whether you feel like you know how to tell somebody about Jesus or not, you just got to get out there and do it. Look, I could spend hours with you, days with you, weeks with you, trying to tell you how to ride a bike. But at the end of it all, you just got to get on the bike and you got to do it. I could tell you about the wheels. I could tell you about the pedals. I could tell you about keeping your balance. I could tell you about how to lean when you turn. I could tell you all that stuff. In the end, you just got to get out there and you just got to do it. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, right? Peter looked over and said, Jesus, if that's you, command me to come out onto the water and I'll come. Jesus says, come on. Peter didn't stop and say, okay, so how does this actually work though? He just got out of the boat and started walking. And some of us just need to go ahead and open up our mouths and start telling people about Jesus. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Maybe it's because they're hung up on the how-tos and they just need to get out there and do it. Get out there and do it. Get out there and do it. And so as we get out there and do it, I believe that you're going to see, and I'm going to see God do great things in your life and mine. Now, I did say there's not an outline, a bulleted outline in the Bible. But how many realize today that the Word of God is an outline for every part of our life, right? And the more that you and I dig into the Word of God, the more we're going to realize and see the how-tos of evangelizing and telling people about Jesus, reaching people for the kingdom of God for eternity. Listen, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And ain't nobody else going to tell the world about Jesus except for his body. You are the hands. You are the feet. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who go proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are the body of Christ. Nobody else is going to tell the world about him except for you. And so you got to get out there and do it. And if you're hung up on the how-tos, well, the Word of God is full of how to do it, how to be a fisher of men, how to win souls for Jesus Christ. We said this, in fact, if you're there already, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, let's look at it again. It says this, it says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now you should see this verse as a promise from God. You should see this verse as a promise from God. He said, if you follow him, that he would do something. Right? It doesn't say, then he said to them, follow me, and I might make you a fisher of men. I'll think about making you a fisher of men. If I feel like making you a fisher of a man, then I will make you a fisher of men. No, he says, I will make you a fisher of men. So then it's safe to say, if I will pursue Jesus Christ, if I will endeavor to get to know him and continue to get to know him, then God's promise to me is that he's going to begin to develop and build this character into me, the ability to go out and to tell people about Jesus and see souls come into the kingdom of God. He's going to develop this skill set within me to be able to tell people about Jesus if I will follow him. It's a promise from God. If you feel insecure about telling people about Jesus, hey, maybe you just need to get a little bit closer to him. And as you get a little bit closer to him and you begin to see how he does what he does and how he ministered to the world, all of a sudden you're going to realize, oh, that's how it's done. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to do it too. It's a promise from God. How many of you out there want to be a fisher of men? How many of you want to take people to heaven along with you? I don't think there's anybody out there who's just like, you know, I'm just looking out for number one. I just want to go. I just want to be there. And I don't care who comes or who doesn't. That'd be terrible. That'd be terrible. No, you want to. You want to. And that's gonna happen when you and I get close to Jesus and allow him to make us fishers of men. Is this okay? Is this okay? Okay. So I'm talking with Phil, and we're talking about the how-tos of evangelism and some of the different experiences that we had. And at that time, the Holy Spirit mentioned to me a couple of things which I want to share with you now. So how to fish. Or is that all right? How to fish, number one. All right, you got to fish with the heart. Fish for the heart. Fish with the heart. Fish for the heart. Everybody repeat it after me. Say, fish with the heart. Fish for the heart. Look at your neighbor and say, fish with the heart. Fish for the heart. And look at your other neighbor and say, fish with the heart. Fish for the heart. This whole This whole winning of souls is a heart thing, y'all. It's a heart thing. And too many Christians out there now, please hear what I'm saying today. Thank God that they're out there. And thank God that they're telling people about Jesus. You know, Paul the Apostle talked about, you know, there's some people, they preach Christ out of sincerity, some out of pretense. But I rejoice in either case because Christ is preached. It don't matter. Jesus is being preached, so let it be. They shouldn't be like that. But whatever, Jesus is being preached, so let it be. You know, let God deal with it, whatever. All right? But hear me today, because for those Christians that are out there, there are too many that are approaching the lost and that are approaching the world, listen to me now, head to head. Head to head. It's almost like it's more of a thing of winning a debate rather than winning the heart. And as I'm talking to Phil, the Holy Spirit, this is a heart thing. This is a heart to heart thing. This is not a head to head. You know, we can get real into, you know, how to win the argument, how to win the debate, how to prove somebody wrong. When's the last time you saw somebody come on their knees crying to Jesus, "Oh my gosh, you just so outwitted me. I'm gonna give my heart to the Lord now. You're so right. I realize I'm such in error." That's never happened, right? What about you when you got saved? What got you to surrender your heart and your life to the Lord? Was it not Him touching your heart and dealing with your heart? In the same way, you and I as Christians, when we're going to go tell somebody about Jesus, it's got to be about the heart. You got to learn how to speak from your heart. And you got to learn how to speak to their heart. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong today, because there will be mental things involved. I mean, you can't turn off your brain. You can't turn off their brain. God gave you a brain for a reason, so you could use it. Some of us would do well to use it a little bit more than we do. But you know, God is not against reasoning with people and answering questions. You know, the Old Testament tells us, God says, actually, He gives an invitation. He says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they'll be white like wool. Come, let us," notice the word, "reason together." Let's talk about what's on your mind. Let's talk about what's hanging you up, what's holding you back. And there will be people with questions, and I think that we would do well to, what we've heard in some of these last series, be ready, right? Know what we're talking about, to be able to answer questions. The Bible talks about being ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. That means you're going to have to be educated a little bit in your faith. So there is that involved, but ultimately it's a thing of heart to heart. Now, the very first week of the series, I had the opportunity to preach. And I thought to myself, boy, if I'm going to preach this, I better be living it. So that next week, I was at I was with my wife. We were at Jamba Juice, and I talked to a young man, and it turns out he was already saved. So I was able to just encourage him and pray with him, invite him back to church because he kind of hadn't been going. And then and then there was actually another young man that I talked to at a store. He was a salesman, and I'm talking to him, and I have to admit, it started off pretty good. And just in case you want to know, usually my opening line to start a conversation with somebody about Jesus is, "Hey, do you go to church anywhere?" That's all you need. That's all you need. Well, and you'd be surprised how guilty people, they answer that question. "Well, you know, I'm not really all that religious, but," like, it's like they know. Anyways. That's usually how I open up. But so I open up with that, and we started talking. And now, if I was honest with you, by the end of it, it got a little bit away from where I wanted to go. Because I started off talking about, you know, you go to church anywhere, and it ended up, we're talking about science, we're talking about carbon dating, we're talking about, you know, the flood, and if that's possible, and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, it got away from me, and I could tell I was talking to this man by the end, head to head. Now, I do believe that I sowed some good seeds, but at any rate, it. Do you see what I'm saying? Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 10. I forgot. I'm sorry, guys, back there. I didn't give you that verse, so don't panic back there on the computer. You're going to be all right, and we're going to be all right, especially if we brought our Bibles to church. Amen. Romans 10, verse number 10. It says this. Notice what the Bible says here, talking about salvation. When people get saved, what happens? What happens? How does somebody get saved? What happens? This Romans chapter 10, you should read it. Talks about salvation. It talks about how you got saved. It talks about how I got saved. It talks about how people get saved. And this is what it says. Notice what it says. It says, for with the heart one believes. Did you catch that? Not with the head. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Something takes place in the heart, right? The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 5, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That means if I'm going to administer God's love to somebody else, I'm going to have to know a little bit about this platform called my heart so that I can get that love that God has put in my heart and bring it out to reach to somebody else. Because it's a heart-to-heart thing. How about this? Which one of you married ladies or dating or engaged ladies in the house, you are with the man that you're with today because they convinced you through great speech and debate that you should be theirs? Raise your hand. Oh, she's like, oh my gosh, that's wrong. Okay, now let's do this. Which of you ladies, married, dating, engaged, whatever, you're with the man that you're with because they won your heart? It was a heart thing. For those of you who don't know, I'll pray for you after service. Okay. And here we are trying to tell people to, right? Doesn't the Bible call us the bride of Christ? Here we are trying to surrender your heart, surrender your life, but let me debate you and let me prove you wrong. Let me prove to you I am the all-wise, all-knowing. This is never going to work. It's never going to work. You might. I'm not saying you'll never see any fruit, but definitely if you want to see more fruit and better fruit, it's a heart-to-heart thing. Are you hearing me today? Holy Spirit told me while I was talking to Phil, hey, this is a heart-to-heart. This is a heart-to-heart thing. And then the second thing that actually, talking with Phil, I was thinking of, and then as well, even before that, the second one was that, right, how to fish tonight, right? Number two is you got to fish with the power. Fish with the power of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. You know, it would be absolutely a travesty if we went through this entire series and we didn't talk about probably the most important part of being a witness and evangelizing for Jesus Christ, and that is the Holy Spirit filling you and empowering you to be the witness that God has called you to be. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, I don't want you to go anywhere. I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to do nothing. I don't want you to look at anybody. I don't want you to eat. No, he didn't say all that. But essentially he said, I don't want you to tell anybody about me until you first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, power from on high, so that you can be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the rest of the world. Jesus said, don't do it without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And if you and I are going to fish, we're going to have to learn to fish with the power of the Holy Ghost backing us up. Okay, let me show this to you in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You're there in Romans, so you just got to go back one book, all right, and go to the very beginning, Acts chapter 1. And I'm just going to start reading from verse number 1. Verse number 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 1. It says this. This is actually Luke speaking. He says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, I love this, for the promise of the Father. Hey, listen, just to make sure everybody caught that, the Holy Ghost, his infilling and speaking with other tongues is the promise of the Father. Again, not a maybe, not a might, not if he feels like it, not if, no. It is the promise of the Father to all who will receive him. He is the promise of the Father to all who receive him, which Jesus said End of verse 4 now. You have heard from me. Verse number 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They still don't get it. Jesus says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses of me to the ends of the earth. If you're going to be a witness, you got to do it with the power of the Holy Ghost. And he is God's promise. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. This word power here in the Greek is dunamis. It speaks of a mighty power that comes from the inside and exerts itself outwardly. And you and I are going to get out there and we're going to tell people about Jesus. We need to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit from the inside out. From the inside out. That's what he's come to do. He's come to fill you and empower you from the inside out. Now, what does this power look like? Because quite frankly, too many of us have seen too many movies and we get weird ideas when it comes to the things of God. When you think of power coming from the inside of you, maybe you thought of Star Wars and the Force. And I don't know what you thought of tonight, but you need to get a picture of what the power of the Holy Spirit really looks like when you're witnessing. All right? What do you say? I say that we look at the life of Jesus when it came. Because how many know today that the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him? And he had the Spirit without measure, the Bible says. And the way that Jesus ministered, number one today, was he ministered with authority. With authority. What is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life going to look like? It's going to look like you speaking with authority. You speaking with boldness. Listen, today, I don't care if you're an introvert. God wants to empower you to speak with authority and to speak with boldness the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. With boldness. Just so everybody knows, I don't really like talking about myself all that much, but I took a very, you know, good personality test, and I tested introvert. Believe it or not. I did. And I have to admit that public speaking is not easy for me. In fact, for years, I would get so nervous, I just forget everything I was going to talk about. I remember even not too long ago, probably if you just went back like a year or two, I'd be sitting on the front row, I had my whole message together, Pastor Luke was right next to me, right? And all of a sudden I didn't hear a single word in the whole worship set. I'm raising my hands just because that's what everybody else is doing, but my mind is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Jesus, come back right now, please come back right now. I can't do this. In fact, the last song would end, and I would think to myself, okay, what excuse could I use right now to not have to go up there and tell these people, oh, I might have to go to the hospital. No. But you know what? I get up here because that's what God's calling me to do. Like we said earlier, you just got to go do it. And I get up here, and once I get up here, all of a sudden the power of the Holy Ghost begins to strengthen me on the inside and to reassure me so that when I get up here, I speak with authority, just like Jesus spoke with authority. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse number 22, that Jesus went into the synagogue and he taught them, and the people marveled because he spoke as one having authority and not as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, not as the scribes. He spoke as somebody who was sure of what they were saying. Somebody who was sincere in what they were saying. Somebody who knew that what they were saying was backed by God Almighty. I'll tell you what, that's good. That's what's going to give you boldness and authority to tell the world, is when you are sure of what you're saying and when you know from the inside that God is backing every last thing that you say. And you know what? Scientists can get up, and different religions, people from different religions can get up and talk all their mess, but all of a sudden just one word from your mouth in the power of the Holy Spirit just lays all that junk to not in people's hearts and in their minds so that they're ready to receive. You and I need the power of the Holy Ghost to witness so that we can speak with authority. How about this? How about with insight? You know, we just talked about witnessing heart to heart. And you know what the Bible says about Jesus in the next chapter, actually, Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 12, we'll find these wonderful men wanting to bring their friend who was paralyzed to get healed by Jesus. So they approached the place where Jesus was. They couldn't get in because of the crowd, so they decided to climb on the roof. You know the story. They break open the roof, and they rope him down right there in front of all the people. And Jesus. And Jesus begins to minister to this man who is paralyzed. And he said to this man, he said, sir, don't you know that your sins are forgiven you? I don't have time to talk about it, but it's kind of like, you know, once you realize that your sins are forgiven you, you should realize that everything else is available. Everything else that God has is available to you, including your healing, including your, okay, all right. Don't you know that your sins are forgiven you? Well, these Pharisees and Sadducees stand around watching and begin to complain in their heart and talk to one another, whispering in the air. You hear this guy, forgiveness of sins. It's like, it's blasphemy. The Bible says that Jesus, knowing in his spirit what was in their hearts, turned to them and said, why do you think evil in your hearts? But so that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he turned to the paralyzed man and he said, take up your bed and go your way. And he took up his bed and he walked. That's awesome. And here you are talking, and you need the Holy Spirit to come along and give you insight into people's hearts and what's going on in their life so that you can speak words that cut through all the baloney right to where they're at and administer the truth of God's word so they would see the light of the glorious gospel of our Jesus Christ and get rid of that veil that the enemy has put over their minds, the Bible says, to blind them. It's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit showing you in your heart what's really going on in somebody's life. And you know what? In order to do that, you got to get real good at listening. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And here they are talking, and they're talking. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit be like, uh-huh. You hear what they just said? Yeah, that's the issue. And you know, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. How about this one? We just kind of talked about it a little bit without saying it. But the power of the Holy Spirit is there also for signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Let me have you turn with me to real quick to Mark chapter 16, verse number 20. Anybody know what happened in Mark chapter 16? That's the place where the Great Commission is, right? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and those who believe, this was going to happen, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And anybody know what it says at the end? Because after it says to go into, after Jesus says go into all the world and so on and so forth, in verse number 20, Mark 16, verse number 20, it says this, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Again, all this stuff that the world has to say, all of a sudden some paralyzed man gets up, you're going to have people's attention because of the power of the Holy Spirit accompanying and backing what you are saying with signs, wonders, and miracles of the Holy Spirit. Don't think for a moment that God is done with signs, miracles, and wonders. And don't think for a moment that you are counted out or that God can't use you. That's a lie of the devil to keep the church crippled. Because as I look throughout the book of Acts, I see these men doing mighty wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. No, they didn't do them because they wanted to. They did them because the Spirit wanted to. But at least they knew enough about the Spirit to allow him to empower them to be used in a mighty way. And the Bible says about Paul that Peter, he would walk by and his shadow would heal people. Paul, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from his clothes and laid on the sick, and they were made well. People who are paralyzed get up and walk. People who are blind, you cannot debate that. The world has nothing to say. What are you going to say? Oh, his Jesus is not real. What? The deaf ears are opened. The blind eyes are opened. The mute speak, the lame walk. How about this? The dead are raised. You tell me what person is going to come in and tell me that my Jesus isn't real when a dead man just came back to life and is over there praising God. You can, if you know Dr. Baron Gilfillan, he has a wonderful video Bible college. I saw him and there's a man in there, and I believe it was his story, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was T.L. Osborne. His name is T.L. Osborne, and he tells a story. Is either of himself or of another great man of God, but essentially they're in a meeting preaching the gospel overseas, and he's preaching the gospel, and somebody stands up in the middle of his service and opposes what he said, what he's saying. That's not the real God. What you're saying is not true, so on and so forth. I've been there. I actually had somebody in my Bible college stand up in my class and be like, what you're saying is not true. I almost didn't know what to do. I was like, is this happening right now? I want to say, yes, it is. But anyways, I said, let's talk about it after. Please sit down. Please sit down. But you know what the response of this man was? Because this actually, the person who stood up and resisted him was a man from another religion. He says, oh, you don't think what I have to say is true? And the man says, absolutely not. He says, come up here. The guy comes up. And he says, bring up the blind. Bring up the paralyzed. Bring up the deaf. And if I'm not mistaken, again, 10 people came up. And he says, now you pray for them in the name of your God. And after you're done, I'm going to pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man went down, all 10 people, nobody got healed. The man of God went down, and 9 of the 10 people got healed on the spot. That's because God was with them, accompanying and backing and confirming the word that was being spoken with signs, miracles, and wonders. And you, church of God, are called to signs, miracles, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit empowers you, you're going to be able to be this witness that God has called you to. That was Mark chapter 16, verse number 20. You can look, if you want to, in Acts chapter 14, verse number 3, later on in your own studies. But if I could now, I want to talk to you about receiving the Holy Spirit, because I don't know everybody here. And I want to make sure that you receive this promise of the Father, that God said to his disciples, I don't want you to go anywhere, I don't want you to do anything until you have received power from on high. Today, I want to see some people, and I believe God wants, in fact, I don't have to believe, I know God wants to see some people today endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, power from on high, with the evidence, being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's what the Bible says, that God wants to fill you with his Spirit, empower you, and that you speak with other tongues. Is that okay? Because this is gospel. This is what the Bible says. And far be it from me that I not preach what the Bible says, or that I stray away from fear from what the Bible has to say. God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants you empowered. And God wants every last person under the sound of my voice speaking in other tongues. The Bible says when you speak in other tongues, you speak directly to God and you speak mysteries. You pray the perfect will of God over your life. The Bible says, you know what, if you're in a situation where you don't know how to pray for the things that you need as you ought to, the Bible says you can pray in the Holy Ghost and he will make utterance for you according to the will of God. And he will pray what you need to pray to the Father, and what needs to happen in your life is going to come into your life. And probably one of the things that could be used more so than anything else is the Bible says in Jude that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are built up on your most holy faith. And it's about time that Christians today begin to build themselves up praying in the Holy Ghost and begin to get strength on the inside. Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. He says, oh my God, I pray that by your glorious Spirit that you would strengthen men on the inside. That they'd be strengthened with might on the inside to live the life that you call them to. That they wouldn't be a weak and feeble church, given to sin and afraid of what the world has to say. But they'd be a church of power, and a church free from sin, and a church walking in the glory of God. And it's going to happen when you pray in the Holy Spirit, but you have to be filled with him. I got to show you this from the Word of God so that you know, before we lay hands on you today, in Acts chapter 1, right? Go back with me to Acts. We're there in Acts chapter 1, were we not? And Jesus said, I don't want you to go anywhere. Verse number 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I want to take you now to Acts chapter 2. And I want you to see what happens in verse number 4. Because they did what Jesus said, and they went to the upper room, and they waited. And they prayed. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and they were all, I'm sorry, let's just read verse number 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, I'm sorry. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice what's happening here. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking with other tongues. Okay? Acts chapter 10, verses 44 and 46, 44 through 46. This is now 10 years after the day of Pentecost. 10 years, y'all. 10 years. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost isn't for today. 10 years later, Acts chapter 10, verses number 44 through 46. This is what the Bible says. This is, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse number 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues. The Holy Spirit is not speaking with other tongues, and speaking with other tongues is not the Holy Spirit, but they go hand in hand. When you are filled with Him, the third person of the Godhead, He's a He, He's a person, He's not an it. When you're filled with Him, the Bible says that He will give you utterance in your heart to speak in other tongues. Okay? Acts chapter 9. Let's go back just a couple pages. All right? This is now 20 years after Pentecost. And the Bible says here about Paul the Apostle. It tells his conversion and his being filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse number 17, Acts chapter 9, verse number 17. It says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, speaking of Paul the Apostle, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now the Bible doesn't say here that Paul the Apostle spoke with other tongues. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 18, Paul tells the church at Corinth, I wish that you all spoke with tongues as much as I do. So we know that he also was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke with other tongues. Is everybody following me? Okay. Now let me take you to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Anybody remember what Mark chapter 16 is? What's Mark chapter 16? The Great Commission. We've got some people who are listening over here. Mark chapter 16, the Great Commission. What else did we read? That they went and preached everywhere, right? Right? And God was with them, accompanying what they said with signs. Watch what verse number 17 says. Mark chapter 16, verse number 17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. And watch this next part. They will speak with new tongues. Then there's one other instance, and let me take you there. In Acts chapter 8, this was 8 years after Pentecost when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. It says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse number 17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse number 18 says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And we don't need to continue the story anymore. But I wanted to point out again what's happening. They had hands laid on them. They received the Holy Spirit. It doesn't specifically say that they spoke with other tongues. But my question to you is, what did Simon see? Simon saw these people speak with other tongues. So we have what? four examples from the book of Acts, all of which show that those people who receive the Holy Spirit speak with other tongues, and one that doesn't specifically say it, but it does say that Simon saw, when he saw that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money because he wanted to have the same power as how the rest of the story goes. They spoke with other tongues. My point is today is that we're going to lay hands on those of you who have not yet received the infilling of the Holy Spirit and your prayer language from the Holy Spirit, because God wants you empowered. God wants you empowered for daily living, and God wants you empowered to be a witness. And this whole Gone Fishing series, well, what is it worth if we don't talk about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said, don't do it unless you got the Holy Spirit. That's what he told them. So this is what I want the band to come up. Like, get the band up here. And if you can just, play through that last song, Shepherd, the chorus and bridge specifically. Don't worry about the verses. But I'm going to ask them to come and play. I'm going to ask the Shift leadership to come up here. My wife, Michael and Krista, Antonio and Ange, Beth, you can come up here. We're just going to line up here in the front. And those of you, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it just like Acts chapter 8 says. And I'm going to call you guys up here in just a moment. I'm going to pray. And then each one of us are going to lay hands on you and just say, in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that in that moment, that the Holy Spirit's going to come down on the inside of you and fill you up. And now it's your job to speak. See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit never possesses anybody. And he's not going to make you do anything. In Acts 2, it says, and they spoke. Who spoke? They did, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, it's a heart thing. And in your heart, you're going to sense the Holy Spirit, and you just need to pray out. You know what it's going to sound like to your brain? Gibberish. Paul said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, he said, my understanding is unfruitful. I have no idea what's being said in my brain. It makes no sense. But I'm speaking mysteries from my spirit to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer language is a wonderful thing to have. So I want everybody to stand on their feet. And those of you who want to receive the Holy Spirit, you don't speak in other tongues, but you want that empowerment, and you want to be able to speak as Jesus promised, the promise of the Father. I want you to come right down here in front. You can line up in front of any of us. Ladies with ladies. Guys with guys. Just come up here in the altar. Just come up here in the altar area. Just come up in the altar. Just come up here in the altar, and I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then they can lay hands on you. Come on up. Come on up. You got to be kidding me. There's only three people here today. Only three people that want the Holy Spirit. All right. There's a few more. If you're sitting in your seat wondering if you should, you should. Or how about this? You received the Holy Spirit a long time ago, but you have been praying in tongues. You don't even know if you have it anymore. I want you to come forward as well. And we're going to pray and believe God that he's going to administer God's empowerment to your life. Come on. Come on. Come on up. I still believe there's more of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on up. I'm going to pray here in just a few moments. All right, everybody. So I'm going to pray. Do just what the Bible says. I'm going to lay hands on them. Just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you need to, you can spend a few moments with them and help them and then move on. All right, bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask today, Lord, that you would glorify yourself, that you glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, you glorify your Spirit. And Lord, according to your word, that each person here, Lord, they've come forward by faith. And Lord, that's all that you ask of them, that they would just come forward believing and trusting, God, that what you said is true, believing that they're going to receive, God. And I ask right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that your spirit would fall upon each of them and fill them, God, and empower them. And Lord, that they would speak with new tongues. Lord, that they would be empowered to be edified on the inside and strengthened and built up in their most holy faith. That they be empowered, Lord, to speak mysteries unto you. God, that they be empowered, Father God, to pray in the Holy Ghost, Father God, and see you do wonders in their life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You will lift my head above the mighty waves. You are able to keep me from stumbling. And in my weakness, you are the strength that comes from within. Good Shepherd of my soul, take my hand and lead me on, and you will lift my head above the mighty waves. You are my